And welcome to a Monday morning on the Steakhouse. 2 hours of radio, what should we say, magic? Radio dynamism? I don't know exactly what you may call the next few hours, but Drew Butler is here.
I would just say radio gold.
All right, well, that's what we're shooting for sure. Radio royalty, right? Whatever it is. Thanks for spending time with us. Hope you enjoyed the morning shift, as we always do. Great job by those guys. And a very, very busy week of stuff to get to here. So without further ado, Mr. Drew Butler, I wasn't with you last Monday. I was coming back from my little golf trip.
Yeah, it looked like you guys had a blast down on Sea Island. Happy belated Father's Day to you as well.
Yeah, thank you. You too. Your wife did a lovely job of honoring you and your three beautiful girls.
Thank you. She did this morning. Yeah, we had a blast yesterday. Jackie and the girls made breakfast in the morning, and then we just kind of relaxed on the couch. You know what movie we turned on? Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Oh, okay.
It was awesome. I mean, I hadn't seen that movie in 20 years.
Did the girls enjoy?
Yeah, they enjoyed it.
Did the girls
get
excited to celebrate Father's Day? It's like a holiday for them, right?
So absolutely. They did the whole thing. We did cinnamon rolls, biscuits, bacon, and... I got to come down late, and they gave me some nice little sweet gifts. So huge shout out to Jackie and the girls. It was a special morning and a special day.
Yeah, all you want when you get older is just those notes. I got a nice note last night. I said, listen, honestly, we got enough things going on. We don't need to be spending money on Dad getting a gift.
You don't need any tchotchkes?
Well, you won't believe. I mean, seriously, you want to talk about cliched? You won't believe what my number one gift was. So... my family hears me bitch all the time. We got these chopsticks. I like to eat with chopsticks or get Asian food. It's like, why is it in the house that we had chopsticks and now we don't have any? So, like, I like to eat, slows me down. This is like a weird thing. It slows me down. I'll eat with chopsticks.
Okay.
With salad or something else.
Yeah. Do you just eat it with everything, not even just Chinese food?
Yeah, with salads or other things. So they went to one of those Asian supermarkets and got me 100 pairs of chopsticks. And
wooden disposables, not like ceramic ones.
Exactly. Because the ceramic ones disappear.
Of course.
So they had to hear me say, I don't understand where these things go. I don't understand where these things go. So they're like, oh, here you go, Dad. Here's 100
sets
wooden chopsticks.
Which would mean 200 chopsticks. So you have a chopsticks drawer.
Yes. Yeah, so that was a gift. And then I think I got my own water bottle because I'm taking my daughters all the time because I got the Tulane logo or whatever. Like, we need another water bottle for the house.
Of course.
So that was it. We had a great day.
What'd you eat for dinner last night? Did you have?
We went to, lunch, like 1:30, 2 o'clock at number 246, which is Ford Fry's original Italian restaurant. Indicator, phenomenal meal. Love that place. So we went to 246 for lunch and then went out, went by the pool, watching the U.S. Open. On the way back from there, they picked up a po' boy from the po' boy shop, which I had said I was going to do. And that was it. I mean, we were...
Are you firing at an Italian restaurant at 1 p.m.?
Well, it was a regular brunch. So they had pizzas, pasta. Okay. We just had a regular, like, you know, I was out with Bobby, had soccer. I played pickleball in the morning. Like, I made sure I didn't eat all day. And then we just had a normal Italian brunch, whatever it was.
Nice.
So we had a great time. I know your dad was around, Kevin Butler.
Yeah, hung out with Butt in the afternoon. So the girls and I went over and sat by the pool with him and my sisters and all their kids and my grandma. So... we just celebrated Father's Day with family yesterday.
Multi-generational.
Which was awesome. Yes.
So happy Father's Day to all the dads out there. Bo, I know you were coaching yesterday. You weren't at Truist. Is that right?
All weekend long, yeah.
How many hours at the ballpark this weekend?
Oh, goodness gracious. Probably 25 or so-ish.
So eight hours a day.
It was Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you love it, right?
Yeah, man.
What's better, coaching your girl? Those are the moments you'll always, and you'll be into that soon enough, Drew.
Yeah.
Regardless of the sport, we should give a shout out. Speaking of the sport, before we get to 9-9, the University of Georgia just captured their first ever national title in
outdoor track and field. The Georgia women's outdoor track and field team smoked the competition. They won their first ever national championship yesterday. So a huge shout out to the athletic department, athletic director Josh Brooks, the entire team. A huge, huge honor.
Yeah.
Awesome.
You know what's amazing is if you work out, and I don't know who has access to what facilities at Georgia. I'd assume the football team is unique in the sense of their weight room and everything else.
That's right.
But if you're around any athletes at Georgia, you are talking about some of the greatest athletes in the world.
Elite.
In the world.
Yeah.
So, like, and you could say that about virtually any sport, right? And I've said this before. If you're playing baseball at Georgia, you're one of the best high school players in America. If you're running track and field, you're one of the best athletes in the world because those are gold medal winners that are running there at Georgia as well. Same thing with swimming, best swimmers in the world, right? So think of the level of training and nutrition and modern technology going into the athletes at a place like Georgia or Florida or Bama, right?
Or Ohio State or Texas, yes. Yeah, it's a great time to be a student athlete.
I mean, elite. So kudos to Georgia. We got a lot to get to from the weekend, which we'll get to in our 9 at 9. All right, let's start off with the Braves and a really kind of bizarre game, the final game of a three-game series against the Colorado Rockies. And I don't know if a lot of you even pay attention to baseball odds, but I've never seen this. The Braves were a 340 favorite at home.
Oh, my goodness.
Which means that's just unheard of.
You have to bet $340 to win $100.
So, but therefore, coming back, you get like plus 300 with the Rockies.
Right.
Which for any baseball game, no matter how bad, I remember telling people, dude, you may want to just look at Colorado plus 300 because that number is so crazy.
It does not come around.
Especially for a team that's 9 games under 500. And what goes out and happens? Granholms has 15 strikeouts. The Braves, who had done what they needed to do in games 1 and 2, are in a dogfight with Colorado. And next thing you know, you look up and they lose 10-1.
That's right. Grant Holmes was hitless through 5 innings. You said it, 15 strikeouts, and then the Braves bullpen give up 6 runs in the 7th, 3 runs in the 8th. The Braves lose yesterday 10-1 after a gem is wasted by Grant Holmes. On Friday, good news, they won 12-4. On Saturday, they won 4-1, so they win the series over the weekend against the Colorado Rockies, 2-1. They welcome in the New York Mets stake tomorrow for some divisional action.
Yeah, listen, this is a reality. I talked about it. You just have to win series. Even if you're playing one of the worst baseball teams in modern history in terms of their record, we're not in a position that, you know, we should think we're going to take 3 from anybody. Not the way this lineup is constructed right now. Now, again, Grant Holmes having a start like that, coming off the way Chris Sale has been pitching of late, coming off the way that Schwelly has just dominated and will be in the All-Star game for sure, and then you hope Spencer Strider finds his way as well. Now, they push Chris Sale back, who would have pitched yesterday. You can't really blame him. I heard him talking about it on the morning shift. When Grant Holmes pitches like that, you can't say it was a bad move,
right?
Not pitching Chris Sale and saving him for the Mets series. But the reality is you have to win series.
Got
to
win that game. Gotta win that game when Grant Holmes just goes off and fans 15. It's unbelievable. Hey, yesterday up at Oakmont Country Club, J.J. Spahn wins the U.S. Open. He was the only player to finish under par, finishes at 1 under par. Robert McIntyre, solo 2nd at 1 over. Victor Hovland, 3rd at 2 over. We are going to be breaking down the U.S. Open at 9:20.
Yeah, I promise you, it's worth sticking around because Drew Butler has real serious thoughts. He has played Oakmont many, many times. So everybody else coming on with all their theories on how bad this was and how arrogant that golf course is and how this was not going to be good television on Sunday, I think Drew Butler is going to stare in the face of all that and tell you why you are wrong. Huge trade in baseball. Rafael Devers dumped by the Boston Red Sox. No other way to put it. He's their best player. He had a $330 million contract. They're the hottest team in baseball. And one of the most bizarre moves, they pull him off the team plane and say, you're now a member of the San Francisco Giants.
Yeah, really a big head scratcher. We're going to get into that a little
bit later. It's giving Luka vibes is what everyone's saying.
No question about it. Hey, 3 p.m. down at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, the FIFA Club World Cup is happening in our city. Chelsea FC out of London, England is taking on LAFC. That game will be on TBS. Again, 3 p.m. at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. There's natural grass inside the Benz as well. Tonight, game 5 of the NBA Finals. Indiana at Oklahoma City. This series is tied at 2 apiece, 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time, tip-off on ABC.
Yeah, and the NHL Stanley Cup Finals. Are they tonight or tomorrow, Mr. Drew?
Game 6 of the Stanley Cup Finals is tomorrow at 8 p.m. Florida leads that series 3-2.
Yeah, there's so much more conversation about that arena up in Forsyth County. Been reading more and more about how they're going to approach Gary Bettman to give Atlanta another franchise. And I can just tell you, there's no other word to describe it. I feel it this time of year, all the time, nothing but jealousy for these markets. Like, Florida has built a dynasty.
In Sunrise, Florida.
Fort Lauderdale by the airport.
It's right
Sunrise.
By Tamarack. Dude, it is in the heart of Retirement City, USA.
This is as good a hockey team as you're ever going to see.
Yeah.
And, like, we sit here in Atlanta knowing, no question in my mind, we would be every bit the hockey market that, by the way, the Panthers never were, right? Think Nashville or Vegas.
Right.
That's what Atlanta's going to be if we get another team. But the Florida Panthers are a juggernaut in their third straight Stanley Cup Finals, and most likely will win their back-to-back coming up as well.
Yeah, it should be interesting. I'm excited for that game tomorrow night, see if Connor McDavid and Edmonton can wake up at home to force a Game 7.
Yep. That's a little bit of our 9 at 9. Hey, coming up later in the show, because I think there's a lot of confusion about Club World Cup. Why is there a 3 p.m. game? Who's in Club World Cup? Is it a true World Cup preview? Mike Conti will be here live in studio. We'll talk about that. Also, a huge trade in the NBA. Conti will break that down as well. It does affect the Atlanta Hawks in the Eastern Conference. We'll get into that. And just in general, set up the week for you. The Mets coming in, a huge divisional rival for the Braves. This is a big, big series. There is no way around it. The Braves' road back is an arduous one, to say the least. And we'll talk more about what the Mets series looks like. Look at pitching matchups on that as well. When we come back, though. Oh, my God. I was at this Father's Day event Friday night with Bobby and the entire radio station. A lot of talk about the U.S. Open. A lot of anger. I sat next to an angry Mike Bell. An angry Mike Bell.
Is he ever happy?
Well, he wasn't this weekend.
Come on, Mike Bell.
Yeah. U.S. Open recap from a guy that's played Oakmont. What makes great television? Are the PGA professionals one of the most pampered group in all of sports? We'll talk about all that. Drew Butler in the house. This is the fastest 2 hours in radio. I promise you. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
To win the U.S. Open at Oakmont, one of the hardest, if not the hardest, test in major championship golf. For the win, J.J. Spahn, ball up and over the ridge. It's on a very good line. This could go in. J.J. Spahn makes it! It's the biggest moment of his career. J.J. Spahn conquers Oakmont and is your 125th U.S. Open champion.
Wow, what a moment. I assume that's the golf.
That was PGA Tour.
PGA Tour Radio?
Yeah, SiriusXM PGA Tour Radio.
Yeah, great call, by the way, by that young lady on the final moments of the
Amelia
US
Duran.
Open. Okay, good for you for giving some props. J.J. Spahn wins it. One of the most remarkable storylines, but that's what sports produces. And I will say this. I've been doing this gig for 3 decades, and there are tried and true. Right? Talk about your NFL team, full phone lines. Talk about quarterback controversy, full phone lines. Pete Rose should be in the Hall of Fame, full phone lines. Michael Vick, full phone lines. There's just absolute go-tos, right? Coaches, managers, you know, a lot of emotion, all these. When you're talking about golf, they're not going to drive calls or opinions for the most part, right? What are you going to debate the greatness of Tiger Woods versus anybody else? Or, you know, who are we pulling for with Scottie Scheffler? Is he an unlikely, reluctant super? Any of that stuff. But I will say this about Oakmont and the U.S. Open. And it started last Sunday when they started talking about the rough. And they started talking about the conditions. And then it rolls into actually watching the first few rounds. And then at this radio station, being at dinner the other night, where Mike Bell is just going, I'm there with Bobby. I've got a 14-year-old next to me, and Mike Bell, who was super sweet, or as Bobby said about Carl Dukes, I really like that guy. What's his name? I said, Carl. I like that guy. and Mike. You loved them both.
Of course.
But Mikey is dropping F-bombs every other word about the arrogance, about the lack of connectivity with the USGA, the pomposity of that group, and why are you at Oakmont? And I'm so sick of this, and this is a joke. And it, by the way, people chiming in, I've never heard more opinions about a location of a tournament, about the USGA, and about members and mindset of Oakmont and how they are effing up the U.S. Open, how they were paid off, clearly, because they got their ninth, I think it was their ninth U.S. Open, right?
This was their tenth, correct.
Their tenth. And my word, and I said, well, Drew Butler, who's a scratch golfer who grew up around the sport, who is super close to so many folks around it, I got to get his opinion. And your opinion is you love Oakmont.
Absolutely. Love Oakmont, and the USGA intends, they want their champion of the U.S. Open to be right around even par. They want it to be the toughest test in golf. It is, again, an open. That's why amateurs can qualify for the U.S. Open. That is why a high schooler from Thomasville, Georgia, who's going to the University of Georgia, worked and played his way into the U.S. Open. They want it to be the biggest test in golf. Oakmont is no better course in the country for it to be set up at. Next year is going to be at Shinnecock Hills in New York. Again, a huge test. And they want the rough to be tall. They want the fairways to be skinny. They want the greens to be rolling like a linoleum floor. And that's exactly what they had. And yes, it might have lacked some of the quote-unquote star power, but watching guys like Rory McIlroy get so frustrated he wouldn't talk to the media. Watching guys like Wyndham Clark, a former U.S. Open champion, you know, scream profanities, and then it's reported that he trashed the U.S. Open locker room because he was so frustrated. That is what the U.S. Open is all about. I love watching these guys sweat. I love watching these guys grind. I love to see them try to get creative when you can hardly even see their feet, much less the golf ball, around the greens, and they're chipping it and getting it close to the hole. That's the whole point. I love the U.S. Open, and yes, I have played Oakmont.
Okay, so let's talk about that for a
second.
You have played Oakmont
in
the same conditions, right? The rough always looks like that, or was more
the greens are always pretty fast, and they clearly made the rough extremely penal this week, and it proved to be that way.
So what
when
do you
talk about a guy like Bryson DeChambeau, who can walk up to any golf course and just beat it down 350-yard drives, the one way to combat against that is grow the rough up and make the greens very, very fast. That's what Oakmont did, and it produced a champion at one under par who I believe averaged like 286 yards. Pedestrian by every means necessary
professional
golf these days.
Yeah. So that golf course, why do you love the golf course? Because then I hear people say it's an ugly golf course.
They're trying to play
Lynx golf in America.
They don't know what they're talking about. Simple
as that. Well, you played it, so tell us.
So I was just outside of Pittsburgh, PA.
Yeah.
Extremely historical golf course. Host of 10 U.S. Opens, many other USGA championships. They went through a complete renovation of the club, took out a bunch of trees, so then the course could continue to mature and provide a championship venue. It's a true test of the game. It's always in immaculate condition. As you saw on TV, it plays over the Pennsylvania Turnpike, which is extremely awesome. Some of the par threes play 300 yards. Right. Other of the par fives, you know, when you play as a member, if you play with the member, two of those holes play as a par five. They played them as a par four in the U.S. Open. It is such a great test of golf, and I can't say this enough. It's the number five course in America. It's top 10 in the world, and it is a true country club. You go there, you walk by the pool, you know, you see a gaggle of 70-year-old women doing water aerobics. And then you go over to the driving range.
Meaning what? It's a real country club.
Yeah, that's it's a real country club. It's not like some, you know, super bougie golf club where it's just golf and that's it. Kids are there. There's tennis. I'm sure they've
got pickleball. Okay, so I heard a bunch of folks say, I watch golf to see guys get low scores. I want to see guys attack a course and be successful. I love watching birdies and eagles. What the hell am I watching
here? I want
to
see the course attack back. I want to see these guys put through a test. You know, I would liken it to watching a snow game in the NFL.
Okay.
You know what you're going to get. It might be a little sloppy. It's going to look great on TV.
But it's adding an element.
But you want to see these guys sweat. Scottie Scheffler has been ripping through
right.
professional golf for the last 4 months. I like to see him miss short putts.
Drew, I sit on Father's Day, and I want to watch Scottie Scheffler in a final round with Bryson DeChambeau, or I want to see him, you know, against Rory McIlroy like we got at Augusta. That's what I want to watch golf for. And you're saying that's nonsense. Watch guys. And by the way,
it's nonsense the more when it I comes watched to the it, U.S.
The,
Open.
The more I watched it, I said, this is kind of awesome.
Yeah, you want to see carnage. That's the expectation of a U.S. Open.
Hey, it's like your kid's going to a horror film. You want to see carnage. Well, adults got it at the U.S. Open. Here's J.J. Spahn, who shoots five fives
yes.
in a row out of the gate. Is that what it was? Or he shoots a 40 in the front nine.
40 on the front nine, that's correct. He made five fives in a row to start his day after the tournament. He said his kid was throwing up until 3 a.m.
Yeah. Well, so were people watching him and thinking if he had a chance to win. Here he is talking about his composure. The weather delay, what, a couple of hours? How long was the weather delay? Whatever.
A couple hours, which was actually great for your Father's Day activities.
I don't think I did keep my composure, honestly, with all the breaks I was getting. I was trying to just dig deep, hit some good shots coming in. But honestly, the weather delay we had was very kind of just changed the whole vibe for the day.
404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. Are you tired of the whining, the complaining, the vitriol, not only by folks saying that's not the way golf should be for the fan that's watching, but the players themselves who, my God, were losing their friggin' mind over the weekend.
Couple other cool things about Oakmont. One, former Atlanta Falcon Bill Frelick, his mom was the head cook there for a long, long time. Bill is actually from Pittsburgh, PA, played his college ball at Pittsburgh, so that was really cool. But two, Bill Griffin used to be the club president there. Bill Griffin, a great double dog. I was playing my rookie year, my fourth preseason game. I got to do well. I'm either going to make the team or be cut and looking for a job. My dad comes up to watch the game Thursday night versus the Carolina Panthers, and he says, hey, regardless of what happens tonight, we're going to go play Oakmont tomorrow, me and you. And this is the day where you find out you make the team. This is cut day on a Friday. So I call my coaches, and I say, hey, listen, I'm going to Oakmont. You know, let me know. Hopefully it's good news. So I went to the head pro, and I said, hey, pro, I know we're not supposed to have phones out there. I'm expecting a pretty big phone call. They're like, absolutely. Please bring us back some good news. You can use your phone. So we're playing, having a great day. My dad's out there with me. This is Oakmont Country Club in August. And we get down to the 12th green, and I look in my bag, and I have two missed calls. One's from my coach, one's from the GM. And I call my coach back. He's like, what the hell are you doing? I said, I'm out here playing Oakmont. He goes, well, we're trying to call you and tell you you made the team.
Oh, wow.
I was like, awesome.
No wonder you love that course.
People were giving us high fives. I went like double, double, double the next calls because I was so excited. But special place.
Yeah,
awesome spot.
Here he is, J.J. Spahn, saying never thought he'd be holding the world, U.S. Open Cup.
I never thought I would be here, you know, holding this trophy. I mean, I've always had aspirations and dreams, but like I said, you know, a few months ago, I never knew what my ceiling was. I never knew how good I could be, but I'm just proud that I've been resilient in my career and pushed through a lot of things and just trying to be the best golfer I can be.
Resilient in his career and resilient yesterday. Again, he shot 40 on the front nine. He was 0 for 6 scrambling, and he went on to win the U.S. Open at Oakmont. The only players ever to finish birdie-birdie to win a U.S. Open at Oakmont, Ben Hogan in 1953, and then J.J. Spahn yesterday.
So when you say journeyman, I mean, this guy's just a grinder on the tour, right?
He's had a really good season. Remember, he took Rory McIlroy to a playoff in the Players' Championship earlier this year. He has won on the PGA Tour. But, yes, he's a grinder. He's a guy that flashes. He's got good.
Flashes and comes back.
That's right.
Says his confidence was definitely an issue on and off. Wondering if he could ever get there. And he, by the way, the longest made putt of the entire weekend
was
on 18.
That was insane.
The longest putt of the entire weekend of anybody making anything was on 18 to win the U.S. Open. Let's hear it.
Yeah, it was nice to get a little teach from Victor. When I hit it, I thought it was a little short, but it was right on the line that I was going for. And then about 8 feet out, it was just looking really good. And I kind of went up to the left and down the fall line, and it was just going right out the hole. And it was just one of those moments in major championships where, you know, that's kind of what happens to seal the deal, and fortunately, it was my time.
How ridiculous a putt was that?
It was insane. I mean, Victor Hovland did give him a perfect line, but you still got to walk up and hit the putt, and it locked up the U.S. Open for him. So
incredible. You say to those folks whining, the players
grow up. You sound like the golfers that are crying out there. I don't want to hear that.
I didn't say he's saying this.
I don't want to hear that.
Wow.
I want the carnage.
Hey, when
much.
We come back, lots to get to, including College World Series stuff that you care about. Two really, really big trades. One in the NBA, one in Major League Baseball. Why did they happen? I'll tell you about that. We got a tailgate. Drew's here. Lots more on the way. Sports Radio 92.9. Sports Radio 92.9, the game. We'll do a tailgate coming up in a little bit. Drew Butler sticking up for Oakmont. I don't know if anybody out there. Hey, how was your Father's Day? And did that not give you the finish you wanted, which was real drama down the back end of the U.S. Open? A lot of folks saying, I don't know who those guys were. I don't like watching guys collapse. Somebody tweets or texts saying, country club boy Drew Butler sticking up for Oakmont.
Yes, I am.
Country club boy Drew Butler sticking up for one of those bougie clubs, when in reality we're sitting there watching a bunch of arrogant, you know, country club folks trying to terrorize PGA professionals.
Well, you know what they say? They're not trying to embarrass the worst golfers. They just want to identify them.
404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. A horrendous end of the Braves series against the Rockies, getting smoked yesterday. Lots more on that coming up also.
What do you think the odds are of your starting pitcher throwing 15 strikeouts?
Having a no-hitter into the sixth, I think.
And you lose 10
by 9 runs. By 9 runs. And by the way,
that's not supposed to happen.
If you're wondering why Chelsea FC is playing LAFC at the Benz at 3 p.m. today, Mike Conti's in at 10 o'clock.
One of the most popular football clubs in the world, is right downtown taking on LAFC.
Yeah, and who's playing for them today? Is that their regular guys? Who's traveling with them? What is this cup? Is it indeed the preview for the World Cup, which is less than 1 year away? There are so many things going on from a business, from a fan, from a travel perspective. I can't even tell you, just being in Atlanta running a business, how much conversation there is about all that going on right now. So that will continue as well. Couple of things I want to get to also is a couple of trades, big ones. First one was in baseball, Rafael Devers, and it's a bigger question, okay? You sign a guy for $330 million. He is your best player. You're the Boston Red Sox, and you have been bad for a number of years under this ownership group, although this ownership group also got you 4 World Series, so John Henry. They lost Mookie Betts in the worst trade, like, in history of the world, right? I think they got back like a bag of bats and like a couple of Dodgers.
I mean, think about the Chris Sale trade. I mean, what was that?
Yeah.
They paid us, the Atlanta Braves, to take Chris Sale last year and have a Cy Young.
And Vaughn Grissom, by the way, his no opportunity to get to the bigs. Like with all the guys, that's where they traded
he's
for.
He's in Portland, Maine, or wherever he is.
Yeah, Worcester. Well, he's in Worcester. He's playing for the Sox in Worcester. This guy is upset. On a regular basis, Rafael Devers, right, about having to be DH and then having to be asked to play first base and having to, you know, be told that put your glove away, we're not going to need you in the field, and just basically not really a team guy when you think about guys like Chipper Jones or Mookie Betts or guys like that over the years dare I even say A-Rod, although he didn't really have a chance when he came to the Yankees. Like, that was Jeter's spot, although you could argue A-Rod should have played. But whatever it is, you do whatever you have to do in order to help your team. And Rafael Devers was like the opposite of that, right? He was having his feelings and everything else and, you know, got caught up in stuff with a $330 million deal. You figure if you're paying a guy more than a quarter of a billion, he'll play whatever position you want, right? Red Sox first baseman goes down. The owner flies to the road trip, sits down with him, supposedly to say, this is best for the team. We don't want to play some guy that's a marginal player. We can DH somebody else, and you can learn how to play first base. He says, it's not going to happen. They trade him for a couple of journeymen, not journeymen, that's not fair, a couple of mid-level guys on the Giants and their first-round pick from Florida State from a year ago, and the best hitter the Giants have obtained in like 15, 20 years, right? So the message there, the Boston market is like losing their mind. They're saying this is Luka vibes, right? Like, you just took our best player. We've won 8-10. We went 5-1 against the Yankees. This guy just homered. He owns the Yankees. We're back in the playoff hunt, and you just dumped our best player in the middle of the season. The message is we don't want to deal with that contract for $250,000. They're a big market team that sometimes acts like a small market team. Also, and here it is, we don't want selfish players as our leaders. It's a bad message.
You know who the director of baseball operations for the San Francisco Giants is? It's Buster Posey. Longtime catcher for the San Francisco Giants. Also a Georgia native. He played his high school ball at Lee County High School and then went to Florida State. But you would have to think that when opportunities like that come around, you kind of throw out some of the character issues that might pop up. I mean, the Giants, like you just said, acquire the best hitter that they've had since Barry Bonds. Let's go get him. Let's roll the dice a little
bit. I was listening to some Boston radio, and they're like, listen, you know what's bad sign for the kids? Losing, right? So it's like, okay, Alex Bregman shows up. He's a superior third baseman. You tell him he's playing third. Rafael Devers makes a stink. Like, he's better than you. He's played the position. You're not a great fielder. He pouts. First baseman goes down. He says, I'm not playing first base. He told me to put my glove down. I pay you $330 million. I'm your boss. Yeah, I sign your checks.
Exactly.
You're going to tell me where you play?
Yeah, you're gone.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Okay, but at the end of the day, that's not a winning mindset. It's very similar to Dallas. You don't train the way we want. You don't respect our trainers. You don't seem to really get in the shape that we need you to be in. Long term, we don't want to build a franchise around Luka Doncic because Luka Doncic doesn't bring to the table the things that we need to be a leader.
Correct.
Same thing with Rafael Devers, their best player, their long-term plan, everything else. With all the stars coming up from the minors, they don't want to build with this guy, and they basically get rid of $250 million in salary. People are losing their mind. Fair for the Red Sox or just a low? It doesn't even wait for the trade deadline to maximize it.
Yeah,
it was
know.
Just like Luka.
Goodness.
We'll just take whatever we can get and get out of here, right?
And the Red Sox are playing well right now.
Great. Your buddy Sean McDonough was doing the games all weekend. I was listening to him on Sirius Satellite. They're beating the Yankees every day.
I know.
So the other trade, Desmond Bain goes from Memphis to Orlando. The message for the Magic, who's got Franz Wagner, who's got Paolo Banchero, and now Desmond Bane. We got our big three to a degree, along with some really good role players. Another example in the Eastern Conference of folks upgrading. Orlando saying, I see the Knicks, I see Indiana, I see the Cavs. We're adding Desmond Bane. We are a legit playoff contender. That's a big move to get Desmond Bane out of Memphis and basically say that Orlando is serious as hell about being a contender in the Eastern Conference. So both those moves, Hawks, it's on you now.
Yes, it is.
Looks like we're not, you know, getting a president of basketball operations. So this group that you have assembled to make decisions on this team, a lot of impressive front office guys now coming over here to work with our general manager on what's the future of this franchise. As the Eastern Conference continues to try to load up, Knicks fire their coach with no plan. Cavs have one of the great regular seasons. They're trying to come back. Obviously, you look at Indiana saying we're in a great place. Orlando now putting themselves in that category. When are the Hawks? What's the Hawks' move? What is their, you know, how do they respond in general? So that's just a couple of things going on around sports separate of what happened with the Braves, which we'll talk about over the weekend. The Mets coming in, obviously a rivalry scenario, and then obviously talk a little college sports.
Big news breaking out of the Pacific Northwest yesterday. The Georgia women's track and field team exploded for 73 points to win its first national outdoor title by 26 points. They are your NCAA champions. Congratulations to Josh Brooks, Coach Carol Smith-Gilbert, everybody on the women's track and field outdoor team at Georgia. They are your national champions. They smoked the competition, Stake. Incredible performance.
Yeah, they got Olympians there. They got gold medalists there. Some of the finest athletes ever to come through Athens. And Josh Brooks, the athletic director, he made it clear, we need to compete for national championships in every single sport, right?
Yes.
Every single sport. That includes women's softball, where they go to the regionals. That includes baseball, a really disappointing end. That includes basketball, where they're still trying to find their way out of the mid to bottom of the SEC. But track and field women's, check it off, a new national championship that they've never had before.
Congratulations to the Dogs. Go Dogs!
Go Dogs!
All right, it is the College World Series. The Men's College World Series is going on in Omaha, Nebraska. You got some action today. Arkansas's taking on Murray State, 2 p.m. ESPN. That is an elimination game. And then later tonight, Bo Johnson behind the glass. He's fired up. UCLA versus LSU, 7 p.m. on ESPN for a double elimination game. It's heating up out in Omaha. Have you ever done that? It looks like a very, very fun
scene. On the bucket list right up there with U.S. Open and Flushing Meadow. You been there, Bo?
I have not. And I hate using the term bucket list, but it is definitely on the list of things
there.
I want to do.
What do you not like about the term? I don't have give me a little insight of that.
Well, to say that I have a list of things that I want to do before I die just makes it seem like I'm going to die very soon, and that's not what I want to happen. So.
Okay.
List of things I want to do, but I guess it is before you die. So you
we do need to look at the very infamous Rocco's Jello Shot Challenge leaderboard. As is custom, all eight teams that make the Men's College World Series, they all go down to Rocco's Bar in Omaha, and you order Jello Shots to show off your fandom of said team right now.
Yeah, you'd say who you're representing.
Correct. And you purchase shots. I believe they're $5 a prepackaged Jello shot.
Okay.
Coastal Carolina coming in for Myrtle Beach, 2,741. Arkansas, short trip over, 4,823. The LSU Tigers, 10,197 Jello shots ordered.
Mess with the Cajuns.
Hey, so Drew, my that goodness. Number right there, that was at noon yesterday. Woo! You can tell that LSU did not play yesterday because their total to close out last night, 13,552.
Yeah, you don't mess with the Cajuns when it comes to a drinking contest.
The Jello shot. Yeah, we're going for another championship.
Cajuns.
That's incredible.
Listen, I married a Cajun. I've been to weddings. I've been to functions with them. That's not a group that you take lightly when it comes to celebratory
not at all.
Activity.
2023 record, 68,000. We're coming for it.
Yeah. Coastal Carolina looks great, by the way, so far as well.
Yes.
And
tomorrow, you also have another elimination game at 2 p.m. It's already set. Oregon State's taking on Louisville. So it is getting down to a semifinal round is up next in the Men's College World Series.
All right, that is the tailgate as we continue on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and, you know, try to unravel a little bit more information on what's really, really interesting stuff with this Club World Cup. Conti will be in here to talk about that. We'll also talk to Braves, Snit as well, the Mets coming in, and just in general some of the things going on. Father's Day weekend, actually weather-wise, kind of agreed with it. The prognosis was so bad for what the Friday, Saturday, Sunday was going to look like.
Yeah, I mean, is anybody getting sick of the rain every day?
They have the
deluge. Summer storms are coming. It's dude, can we get a break?
But you still got way more sunshine than you would have thought. So did Dad's golf game.
I know a lot of member guests for this past weekend as well, so I would assume
they got him in, right?
They got him in. I think there were some delays around the shootouts on Saturday late afternoon, but they dodged some major.
Yeah, relatively speaking. All three Braves games get in as well. Were you working there at all over the weekend? You weren't there at all. So rain, was there rain? Friday night was perfect, right? They didn't have an issue on Friday night, I don't think. Pretty much all weekend, the way the games fell, you were pretty good shape. This week, we'll look at it, what the Mets series is. Obviously, a huge series for the Braves with their divisional rival and a lot to get to in the Braves conversation as well. And we're also unpacking the U.S. Open, which, listen, Drew Butler says stop whining about the situation at Oakmont. Why, when somebody is called the fifth best golf course in America,
yeah,
what is that based on? Like, you know,
course architecture, course conditions. Have they hosted championships? I mean, Cypress Point, so Augusta National, Pine Valley, those are always your top three.
So when Sandra says, like, course condition, all I'm looking at is this horrible rough. Why don't they handle that? They're not trying to handle that, right?
No, that's part of that's it. That's on purpose. Right. I mean, it takes a skill to grow rough up,
I mean,
like,
dude,
that. It seriously does.
Who are the guys that unraveled at the top of the leaderboard yesterday? I didn't know half of their names, but watching them fall in that rough and watching those guys lose their
mind. I mean, my buddy Harris English, a Georgia grad, you know, he was on feature group coverage with Hideki Matsuyama on Saturday morning. They're out there, and I'm at home watching it 8:30 a.m.
Yeah.
I mean, it looks like two buddies at the club just doing a little hit and giggle because it was so hard. It was raining. Him and Hideki were like, yeah, you hit it. Okay, you hit it. They're just walking
but
around
like
we just got to get through 18 holes.
I understand at my level or even level not quite of yours but somewhere in between that guys are going to scuff, right?
Yeah.
That guys are going to be like, well, you just hit it literally 48 feet because you couldn't get it out of the rough or you just miss hit. But you're not used to seeing pros be like rough to rough.
Right.
Like the ball just literally went 8 feet and now you got to do it again.
That's the best. Like that's what you want to see. I cannot say
that enough.
So
you like watching professional athletes in duress.
Yes.
You like watch them push.
I want to see whether how they navigate their way out of that device.
Whether that's a road game for an NBA superstar being absolutely taunted or a college star, right? Cooper Flagg going on the road to play or, you know, a great quarterback that's great under dome conditions having to play on the road.
You know what? As a kicker / punter, I've always appreciated watching kickers and punters navigate horrible conditions.
The Adam Vinatieri kick, considered the greatest kick ever, in the middle of a snowstorm on the blizzard, right?
It's incredible.
That makes you a Hall of Famer.
Yes.
So I'm curious what our listeners think. 404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. What happened with the Braves? One of the absolute strangest games. Brian Snicker talks about that. Mike Conte comes in here to help us out with this Club World Cup information and things I learned coming up in the 10 o'clock hour. Sports Radio 929. Hey, it's 10:05 on Sports Radio 929. The game. Mike Conte is here with us. He's here to educate us in a few minutes, right? We always want to be never too, as my mom would tell you, 86 years old. She's studying Spanish. She speaks 8 languages, and now she's learning Spanish. You're never too old to learn more, right? And you're going to educate us?
I'm going to try. I can't speak 9 languages.
No.
I can barely speak English.
I was going to say, I often have times with the one that we're speaking on this said program. But anyway, thanks for spending the 10 o'clock hour with us. It is brought to you by Wise Guys Pro Wash, pressure cleaner at the highest level. So a weird weekend in general around Atlanta. A lot of U.S. Open conversation, which was, you know, spirited. I told you the other night, by the way, a beautiful night at Father's Day.
Thank you
Friday
for coming.
Night.
Yeah, it was great being with our listeners out there on Friday.
You want to talk about education? My 14-year-old sitting next to Mike Bell, where clearly he doesn't have children, because he talked to him exactly like a listener, like he would meet, you know, over there at
telling him about the important things in life.
He's like, "Can I speak openly?" Looks at me. I said, "Dude, whatever you want to say."
Yes, yeah.
And then Bobby's in the car. I like those guys a lot.
Oh, I know. I could tell. Like Bobby, he looked like a kid in a candy store. His facial expression. We were sitting at different tables.
Yes.
But I was looking over at you guys. I thought, "Ooh, Bobby's having a good time."
No filter from Mike Bell whatsoever, right? Especially his emotions around the Oakmont folks, the Oakmont crowd. But then Carl Dukes, we're talking some NBA. We're talking about the series. I want to get to the Braves in a second. I will say this. Caleb and I were talking in the break. 4 number one picks for Desmond Bane.
That's crazy. And those are Orlando number one picks that are unprotected.
So Paolo Banchero ruptures his knee, and they fall into a serious lottery. They don't even get the picks.
Yeah, that's a pretty wild. If that is setting the bar, okay, that we've talked a lot about what the Hawks might need to do this offseason if they're going to get over the hump and maybe be a top six team. If four number one picks for Desmond Bane, who's a good player, almost the most improved player in the league 2 years ago, his teammate won it. He's a good player, but I don't know if he's, you know, a difference maker in getting you to a championship.
I mean, he's the right fit for a team that's a grinded out defensive minded couple of stars in Wagner and Banchero. Now they got an outside shooter.
Yeah.
But yes, four number ones. I don't know, man.
If that's setting the market, that scares me for the Hawks. Like, if a player of Desmond Bane's caliber is going to command four number one picks, and now, you know, it sounds like the Durant thing is, that is a complete no-go. Durant has told everyone where he wants to go, and the Hawks are not on the list. That just makes me a little bit nervous.
In terms of acquiring talent.
Yes, exactly.
But why wouldn't Trae Young be available? And I don't think they're going to move him. Would somebody give up four number ones for Trae Young? It seems like they, if they're going to give him for Desmond Bane,
you would think for sure.
Right?
That market's got to be,
I know,
be
it's
somewhere.
Weird, though, right?
Here's the only thing I'll say. There's a lot of really good point guards in the NBA. I think the market for a point guard is a little bit different than market for a small
forward. Undersized point guard that can't defend necessarily versus a pure shooter out on the wing. Let's do Braves quick, and then we're going to turn, which I think is important, this Club World Cup, to understand what's going on. All right, Braves yesterday, Grant Holmes, what a strange outing. Wasn't strange, it was dominant. He had 15 strikeouts, he had a no-hitter into the sixth. He had great stuff, and he talked about the kind of numbers he put up yesterday.
You know, I tweaked a little bit of mechanics. You know, it was just more about rhythm, having a, you know, fluid rhythm. And I feel like it worked pretty well for me today. You know, I was able to locate the sliders down and get some swing and misses on the heaters in the zone, which I haven't been able to do, you know, I feel like this season. So I feel like that was a big part of today's plan.
Guys pitched 9 years in the bigs, or 11 years, whatever it is, and has never had more than 9 strikeouts in his entire minor league career, 11 years, and never had more than 9.
Wow.
Had 15.
15 yesterday.
And he's out in the seventh, and they lose the game 10-1. Brian Snicker, knowing it's probably an offensive issue.
Just one of those things. I mean, it's I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. So it just keep waiting for it to happen. You know, I'd say these guys have done it before. I sound like a broken record. They've done it before, and they're capable, and we all know that. But we have to do it, and we're not.
You know, what do you want Snicker to do? It's such a polarizing question right now among the Atlanta Braves fan base, because you got some people who are like, he's got no juice, he's got no fire.
Yeah,
let's just can Snicker, and then the problem will be solved. That is not the answer.
Is Eli White going to become, I don't know, insert power hitting outfield? Like, what do they think?
I just don't
understand. These are the cards that you have been. What's Nick Allen going to become? Who's the shortstop on the Astros when they're winning World Series? What was the name? I don't know. Point being, like, what do you think is going to happen with this offense?
Here he's the one saying it. He's like,
here he is talking about the lineup.
The only thing I can try is shuffling lineups, you know, and hopefully maybe different looks. But, that's why this is such a tough game to play. It's not easy. These guys make it look easy. They're really good. They're the best in the world at what they do. And anything can happen on any given day. And these guys, they work hard. They care. They do everything right. But this is a tough game.
Okay. I guess I was thinking of Carlos Correa, right? Astros, like that's not going to happen for Nick Allen. So it is what it is, right?
Yeah. That's the slogan of the Atlanta United season this year. It is what it
and
is.
It's a really weak, it's a really weak way to describe anything.
I hate it, and it's a cliche, but there is a little bit of resigned truth to it, because again, I think if you look at the group they've assembled, the talent they have, it's just a bunch of guys who have underperformed in general this year, but have still shown you glimpses of what it can be.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm still, like, maybe I'm crazy. That's why I'm still a little bit optimistic. It is only June 16th.
Listen, when you have Grant Holmes go 15 strikeouts, you have Schwellenbach, who's the most dominant pitcher last however many starts in baseball. Chris Sale, actually, he's the only guy better than him. And then you have Spencer Strider.
Yeah.
One would imagine that the road is not so...
bleak. It absolutely That is a rotation that can get you places.
Yeah,
and if you get in, it's a rotation that in a short series can win you a series.
You would think there's a 10-2 stretch coming.
Yeah.
You would think there is.
And if it just so happens to be this stretch where you're playing the Mets and the Phillies a bunch, the whole complexion of everything changes.
All right. Explain to us why there's two teams playing soccer at 3 in the afternoon with titles and names that we've heard, but not exactly sure what the Club World Cup is supposed to be.
Yeah, so this is, Drew asked me a good question during the break. Is this the first ever Club World Cup? And it's actually not. This is a tournament that FIFA used to do late in the calendar year, like around Thanksgiving, when there would be an international break, and they would take the winners of all the confederations, the European champion, the African champion, the Asian champion, the North American champion, the South American champion, and then I think a wild card or two. They would have an 8-team tournament, usually somewhere in the Middle East, and no one knew what was going on. The teams that participated really weren't all that invested in it.
Did they play their best players in it?
Yes and no. And that's one of the big questions about the Club World Cup, now that it's become so much bigger, and I'll get into why in a second, are these teams going to play their main guys? Because they're in the off season right now.
Yes.
Manchester City, who's going to play here Sunday night at 9 p.m. on a Sunday night. I have tickets, though. I got good tickets. Are they going to play their main guys when this is kind of the rest and recovery period for them?
I mean, it would be awesome to see De Bruyne and Haaland at Mercedes-Benz
Stadium. Are you expecting to?
Probably not.
I'm not either. Yeah. Now the marketers, don't kill me on that, because they're really trying to sell this as you are going to see De Bruyne. You're going to see Messi here later this week when Inter Miami plays, and I think Messi will play. But the point is, it used to be kind of a little teeny thing that they would do at the end of the year every year. Not a lot of people paid attention. FIFA made the decision, now we're going to make it bigger. We're going to expand the field. We're going to take more than just the Confederation Champions. We're going to take some runners-up. We're going to play it over the span of a month, like the big World Cup, and we're going to use it as a test event for next
year's markets.
Big show. Mostly same markets, not all same markets and not all same venues, but mostly. So there used to be a tournament state called the Confederations Cup.
Yeah.
Okay. It was 8 teams. They were national teams. They would play at the host site of the World Cup the year before, and that would be the test event. They don't do the Confederations Cup anymore. Now they've made it the Club World Cup. Why are they playing at 3 in the afternoon today? Because the time difference is 6 hours later, it's prime time in Europe. And that's the big TV market that FIFA cares about. When we have the World Cup here next year in Atlanta, get ready. We're probably going to have some games starting at noon. We'll probably have some games starting at 3 in the afternoon on like a Wednesday.
Right.
On Wednesday, June 16th next year,
that's a great point.
Poland against Iran at 2 in the afternoon.
Listen, absolutely. We've grown up where the East Coast market dictates the 8:30 starts, the 9:15 starts. Those days are going to be over once the World Cup is North America, which is another great thing. What's the sexiest thing about in Atlanta coming up over the next few weeks?
I think getting Messi here is a big deal, but I think Manchester City, I mean, they have so many fans internationally. Their opponent is a Middle Eastern team that I don't think a lot of people follow, but I think there's going to be, Manchester City is playing a meaningful game at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. That's going to be really sexy.
Yep.
That'll be really, really cool.
And I'm a Chelsea fan, too. I mean, I think it's awesome that Chelsea is going to be. Yeah,
they're going to be here.
Today.
Yeah.
3 p.m. versus LAFC. It's awesome.
Yep. All right. I think we understand a little bit more. You're going to help us over the next month.
Absolutely.
Navigating.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Mike Connie. We'll come back. Things I learned over the weekend. We'll look back at Father's Day and all kinds of stuff happening. You know what you expect from 2 hours in the Steakhouse. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hey, it's 10:23 Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We'll have some fun with things I learned coming up in a little bit. Obviously, Braves and Mets, 3-game set, starting another day off for the Braves. They had a Thursday off day. Things went fine. First 2 games against the Rockies. They get smoked 10-1 yesterday. Mets in town for 3 as the Braves try to inch their way, or don't inch your way back. I've win 6-7 in a row and get us close during the All-Star break. That's coming up as well. So, when you think about great television and sports, right, do you consider watching the U.S. Open after the delay great television? And let me just say, a bunch of guys that we really haven't heard of, any of them, with the exception of who made a little bit of a run yesterday that was playing with
Adam Scott was there. Everybody knows Scott. Adam Scott. Sam Burns, an LSU guy.
Yeah, we didn't know Burns
Scheffler
as well.
Was hanging around a little bit. John Rahm was in the clubhouse early at +4. You can't ask me. I'm a golf sicko.
Yeah, okay. So, like, who?
I'm the wrong guy to
played,
ask. But
who,
I'll tell you this.
Who played yesterday with J.J. Spahn?
Put me on the spot. Who played yesterday? Victor Hovland.
Yeah, Hovland. Yeah, Victor right. Hovland so, did. Which people familiar yeah. with him and yeah. Adam Scott, for
but
sure.
Here's a great scenario of what happened yesterday. We're at the pool. Dads are doing the dad thing. Beers are flowing. Cocktails. Kids are
it's
all over the
Father's
place.
Father's Day. Dad's enjoying
so
their day.
So I'm at the bar getting a cold beer. I hear, hey, Butler, who's on top of the leaderboard? And I said, they're both tied at 2-under. Looks like there's about to be a weather delay. The dads go, perfect. Now we're going to be able to enjoy ourselves.
Right.
Go back home, uh-huh. turn it on, and have the golf on while we're doing dinner.
I will
so
say,
it timed
yeah,
out
about
perfectly.
6 o'clock, they were back.
It timed out. Perfectly. 6 o'clock would have been the finishing time.
Right. Now
you're
kind of scrambling,
back
nine.
You're at the pool.
At one point, there were five guys at one over.
So I thought,
tied.
It, was, I thought it was perfect.
So that was great television
yeah.
to you.
And then they were calling it Soak Mont because so much rain came through. There was water everywhere.
They gave that.
Now they're not only having to navigate tough course conditions as it is, now the ball's soaking wet. I mean, they're having to do the umbrellas, the towels. I like seeing that. I enjoyed watching that.
And you watched. I mean, you're a golf maniac, so you're watching all of it. You watch the Golf Channel on a regular basis. The way Rusty,
yes.
who I work with on Fridays, watches the Combine multiple times in
correct.
Old games, that's the way you watch golf.
Yeah, when Rory McIlroy made his comments to the media Saturday afternoon, I thought to myself, I cannot wait to watch the Golf Channel at 9 p.m. tonight because they're going to shred him.
Uh-huh. And did they?
They did. Brandel Chamblee does not mince words.
All right, we'll have that coming up in a little bit as well. Do you consider Oklahoma City, Indiana, great television?
Nah.
I hope, Caleb, you consider it great television, right? Who's our NBA guy. Is are folks who aren't watching missing out on what's been a pretty good series or not?
Yeah, I mean, every game so far has been really interesting. It doesn't have the star power, so it's not going to bring the casuals, which
right.
is fine. But
you calling me a casual?
Yes.
I didn't say that.
Yeah. No, I mean, and by the way, Indiana absolutely could have been one win away from winning an NBA title. They lost Pascal Siakam in game four. Otherwise, they were in control that entire game.
They lost their mojo, essentially. Like, OKC finally showed up and showed the defensive
shutdown
team,
mode.
Yeah, that
yes.
they can be.
Yeah. So, like, I think the Indiana Pacers, to me, are the most engaging story. I love seeing Rick Smits and Mark Jackson and Travis Best, buddy of ours from
Rick
Atlanta.
Rick Smits, great call.
And Detlef Schrempf
wow.
and Reggie Miller. Like, there's a great market that's never won a title
yes.
that would have their first moment. It'd be a little bit like without the heartache, like if the Falcons were getting close to win a Super Bowl and you see all these ex-Falcons, you go, that franchise has been around 60-something years. They've never won a title. Indiana, similar. So I think that's good television.
Overrated, underrated, or properly rated the city of Indianapolis?
Properly rated.
Yeah, I would agree.
Yeah. I mean,
St. Elmo's is good. The walkability of the tunnels is whatever.
Yeah, no, it's exactly what it should be. Like, underrated Pittsburgh, underrated Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Great downtowns.
Yes.
Really amazing over the summertime periods. Great festivals.
Yes.
Pittsburgh, one of the best ballparks in all of sports. Very walkable downtown now. Like, perfect.
I'll tell you.
Let me give you another city.
Okay.
Charlotte, North Carolina. Overrated, underrated, properly rated.
Okay, this one gets a little bit sketchy. I've got cousins who live there. They live in the Myers Park area, the suburbs of Charlotte,
uh-huh.
which are right outside of downtown. 10, 15 minutes, not 45 minutes like Alpharetta, Roswell, blah, blah, blah. Those are great areas. The city of Charlotte is overrated. Overrated.
Caleb,
I'm sorry.
Caleb, you got a thought on that? You're shaking your head.
Yeah, it's the banking capital of the country, and it looks like it, and people act like it.
And it feels
incredibly
like it.
Boring.
Yeah. I
mean, Bank of America Stadium.
So did you say overrated or underrated? What did you say?
I said overrated.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The city of Charlotte
is
overrated.
They are. Never has
Myers Park, South Park, those are great areas to hang out in. Young, pretty good restaurants, good vibe.
They're great areas to hang out in for like a 26-year-old. I don't even know.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah.
I'll go back to what Caleb said, which is it's a boring city. And let me say something else. And Sandra Golden perfected the term. You're adorable. When Charlotte starts talking about Atlanta,
we're coming
for Atlanta. Like, are you like?
I'll listen, throw one more.
It
in
was
there.
The. I'm going to use a Charles Dickens quote. I don't want to go too heavy here. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. When my son said for spring break, I want to go watch NBA basketball, I said, son, is that really what you want to do? He said, yeah, Dad. I want to see LaMelo Ball play. And I just said, did you just say LaMelo? Are we going to Charlotte? That's where we're headed? By the way, my spring break was Charlotte and Orlando for NBA markets, which saved me probably $5,000.
Conservatively.
If he had not said New York City and Philadelphia or Boston.
Dad,
or
I want to go to New York City. I want to stay at the Gansevoir. I want to do Scaliantella.
I want to see, I want to see
then I want to go Jaylen courtside Brunson. At MSG.
Yes. When he said, I want to see LaMelo Ball, I said, that I can do. But boy, is that a lame downtown.
So let me get one more, and here's where we get really, really controversial.
Yeah.
Nashville. Our buddy Rusty Manziel loves Nashville. I've never done Broadway with the boys, bachelor party weekend Nashville. I've played there many times, Vanderbilt.
So what were you going to say? Because you haven't been in a while.
I just think Nashville trying to punch up at Atlanta is a little bit out of their ballpark. The new development. I've heard only horror stories about the airport.
But they have a real downtown this action at 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
I'll be excited
but
to
I don't
see
know.
What
like,
the Gulch
we
does.
Could do – this is a good topic. We could do a little bit on Nashville. We did a boys' trip there years ago. It was fine. But I would not put it in the New Orleans, Vegas, Miami category. I would not.
No, not even.
A bunch of 26-year-olds shrieking with those pedal, like what is it? The moving bar thing they do?
The pedal pubs,
yeah. I know. I get it. It's your bachelorette party. You guys are wild, you know. Drink your what's the lemon shot like to have?
Lemon drop?
Yeah, lemon drops.
Look, Nashville can compete with Austin, all right? New Orleans, Miami, Vegas, they are in
boys weekend.
The upper echelon.
I mean, Atlanta's living in a weird place. Like, you know, we're not necessarily saying we're the greatest.
I think Atlanta's got everything you want.
Right.
I would say that. Am I biased? Of course. Do we have Broadway? No.
We have the culture. We have the neighborhoods. We have the restaurants. Way more sophisticated restaurants than Nashville.
Way more.
Or Charlotte. I mean, Charlotte, please. You know how long? Atlanta Eats is a one-hour show. If I were to begin a show called Charlotte Eats, it would be, you know, those 15-second scroll
it'd be a TikTok series.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it would be.
Yeah.
A TikTok
series. It would be the definition of short-form content.
Like, underrated is the steakhouse scene in Atlanta.
Yeah, the best local steaks, period. I love when folks are like, we're going to open a steakhouse in Atlanta. These guys from New York, I told you. What was it, American Cut? They opened Buckhead.
Oh, yeah, right there in Buckhead Village.
You're going to open a block from Chops, two blocks from Bones, up the street from New York Prime and Hal's and all that. Yeah. Okay. How's that going to go? Well, we'll show you how it went. You were in business like 2 years. Nobody ever ate at that place.
So
ever.
My buddy, who's a lawyer, he's in-house counsel for an education software company. He had some people coming in from Indianapolis. He lives up in Buford. Where do I go? Where do I take these guys? I said Chops. On a Thursday night, you go to Chops. Here's what you order. You get there early, get a high boy at the bar, get some cocktails, have your reservation. I said, how was it? He goes, incredible. They loved it.
You can't miss sending a bar. The piano starts going, the crowd at the bar, politicians, beautiful ladies, guys doing business, like same vibe at Chops, though, depending on time of day. Now these outside the city ones that were near you, the one near you,
H&W, right there in Peachtree Corners, Frankie's. I mean, they're awesome.
Frankie's, right.
They're awesome.
Yeah, we do steak. Like, we may do that as a three strikes. What does Atlanta do better than anybody else, right?
Hot wings, obviously.
Yeah.
My buddy who was just in town from San Diego, I go out to San Diego, it's tacos.
Gaslight
it's burritos.
Yeah.
They are elite. He's from Atlanta. You come to Atlanta, he brings some buddies. I'm like, giddy up. We do hot wings and steakhouses. Yeah.
Kevin Rathbun Steak on the Beltline. Smoking a cigar, sitting on the Atlanta Beltline at Kevin Rathbun Steak with all that Energy, right across the street. You got great bars. I mean, come on. Charlotte.
Cute. Adorable.
Charlotte.
You're adorable.
Please. I was walking around downtown Charlotte, like, looking for a great place to eat. That could have been the longest walk. I could have, that would be like, that's like the Jews wandering the desert for 100 years. I could have just kept walking, never found it. Hey, we come back. We'll do a couple of things and things I learned, including the whining Rory McIlroy and a really bad moment for a broadcaster. I've had a lot of them, but this is right up there. Also, play some Three Strikes. It's Steak and Drew on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Steak Shapiro and Drew Butler on a Monday. The Queen is back tomorrow, I believe. Sandy, I think we're back in our attuning. Although, I don't know what's going on with Rusty. Is it?
I got to talk to Rusty. I got to talk to Rusty.
What happened? Did he do something on the air the other day?
I just need some help.
Okay.
Know? And he's like the
he's
wolf,
so
man.
He's so connected.
He can fix it. He can fix
this
it.
This guy went from working.
He's like the wolf in Pulp Fiction.
Yes. Harvey Keitel.
That's him.
Yeah. I just watched, for Father's Day, part of what I do is I get to choose, like my kid can't say no, I got to watch a movie.
Yeah.
And, that's going to be my third strike topic, by the way. So I told Bobby, I've done very good of late getting the family together. Like we watched Bronx Tale the other night, and Bobby friggin' loved it, right?
Lock the doors, man.
Commentary.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now you can't leave.
Now yous can't leave.
Yes. So True Romance is one of my top 10 movies all time. It's Quentin Tarantino wrote it before he did Pulp Fiction and Reservoir Dogs. You seen True Romance?
I don't think I have.
It's one of the greatest scenes in film history between Dennis Hopper and Christopher Walken. Christopher Walken is a mafia guy interrogating Dennis Hopper. Brad Pitt's in this film, some of the great cameos ever. Michael Rapaport, Christian Slade. You got to see True Romance.
Okay. I'll put it on the list.
So,
would Jackie like it?
Yeah. Does she mind violence at all?
Well,
not?
You know, she's very picky, and I told you this. She really liked Your Friends and Neighbors, which wasn't exactly like in-your-face violence,
yeah.
But the thriller aspect to it, the mystery aspect to it, and it was phenomenal.
Is she bothered by violence?
Yes.
I mean, there's a couple of violent scenes, but it's a great story. It's a love story. It's called True Romance. It's an offbeat.
I can sell that.
Does she like Pulp Fiction and Reservoir Dogs?
No.
She doesn't like Pulp Fiction.
No. She'll watch Goodfellas because I love Goodfellas.
Is that too violent for her?
That's probably like right on the line. You know, she'll watch The Sopranos because I love The Sopranos.
But she's not like enjoying it.
No, she'll like look the other way as soon as Tony's about to whack somebody. You know, she's like, I just don't want to see
that. So James Gandolfini is in movie True Romance.
Oh, is he really?
Yeah, okay. And he plays a goon to the mafia guy. He's not the mafia guy, he's the goon. So he goes into a scene, it's one of the most famous fight scenes in Tarantino history, with Patricia Arquette, who has not aged well. Patricia Arquette in this movie's in her 20s or so, and she's smoking hot like sexy girl. She's
and
the
she
one
did
now.
That Showtime series on the breakout from the prison.
Isn't she in Succession? Isn't she in the Apple show, Severance?
I don't watch Severance. Okay, she might be, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, so she's not aged well. She's in this. She's in a fight scene.
Are
with
you allowed to say that she has not aged well?
I mean, listen, my wife's got
it's
a lot.
Not an opinion,
my wife
it's
is,
a fact.
My
is that
wife
what you're saying?
Is a beautiful woman who's the exact opposite of that, right?
There you go.
And she has friends who are opposite. Then I have other friends of hers, and I said, this girl's been through it, huh? And my wife will be like, what does that mean?
Like she looks like she slept on her face for 10
no,
hours.
No. I just mean she's had a rough go of it of late.
Gotcha.
You know, right?
Gotcha.
So there's a fight scene in True Romance between Patricia Arquette and James Gandolfini that goes on for about 4 minutes. That's unbelievable. It's in a motel in L.A., and he's basically, this Jackie will not be able to get through. So okay. If you can go watch True Romance, totally leave the room for that scene.
All right. Noted.
So do you want best fight scene from a movie, or do you want what we just saying? I said I'm going to make as my three strikes. The movie that you wanted your kids to watch. Like, I don't know how to phrase that exactly. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, Bobby, I have my list of movies with Bobby.
You can go in any direction with that one. So I like what movie what movie would you be proud of your kid wanting to watch? It's like a rite of passage, a coming of age movie.
What movie is your kid's rite of passage? What movie are you showing your kids as a rite of passage, right?
I think that's fair. You know, like yesterday, my 7, 5, and 2 row, we sat and watched Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. Phenomenal early 90s Disney movie that brought back a lot of nostalgia.
Yeah, but that's not...
I understand.
Like, I have two daughters.
Yes.
Nola has no interest. She couldn't even watch True Romance. Like, I said, can you handle violence? She said no. Sophie has watched every mob movie with me. She'll watch Goodfellas. Yep. She's watching Sopranos now. Her favorite movie, I think, is... What's the awesome Boston mob film? Not the
The Departed.
The Departed. It's her favorite movie of
Phenomenal.
All time.
Phenomenal.
So my daughter's favorite movie is The Departed. And then there's Nola.
That's a big feather in the cap. Mark.
Yes.
Yes.
Listen, between the sports thing and the mob movie
Damon
thing.
Damon and Affleck. I mean, it's just
My
phenomenal.
Point is, she knows how to suck up to death.
Yes. Scorsese
when you'll go to any Georgia Tech Falcons Hawks game at the drop of a hat, and you love mob movies, Nola's got an uphill battle. And she does a great job on other stuff. You know what I mean? You'll have one of your three that'll do that with you.
Yes.
And the other two will be like, well, I want to see Harry Met Sally for the 12th time. You know what I mean? So it'll fall either ways. But three strikes question. What does Atlanta do better than anything else? What does Atlanta do better than anything else? Underrated weekend city. An underrated weekend city. And what movie are you proud to pass on to your kids?
And just, you know, for our soon-to-be callers, is Savannah an underrated weekend city? Is Charleston an underrated?
Charleston is not.
Exactly.
But Savannah could be.
Okay, Savannah could be.
Is Helen, Georgia?
You know, Blue Ridge, Georgia might be.
Blue Ridge is a good one.
An underrated weekend city.
Yeah, you got 2.5 days. You got one in your head, Bo?
Yeah, dude, I just don't know if it's underrated or properly rated, but Chattanooga.
I'd say underrated.
Atlanta metro area.
I'd give you underrated.
Yeah, I'd give you underrated on that.
Great
as well.
Downtown. Again, we're not talking about 6 days. I said weekend city. 2.5 days, you're going to have a phenomenal. Greenville, obviously, we've been hearing about for years as a weekend city. So 404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. What does Atlanta do better than anything else? Underrated weekend city. And what movie are you proud to pass on to your kids?
Perfectly asked. Yes.
Thank you. So, anyway, mine was, I have a long list, but True Romance was the Father's Day edition for Bobby and Steak. Let's do a quick things I learned. You know, I never got off on making fun of guys, coaches, broadcasters, whatever, when they mess up on a podium or do whatever. Or, like, say, let's find the worst moments in radio and play that back for people and laugh at them and have fun. Like, I love self-effacing stuff, but, like, there's a point, like, it just gets old. This, however, was a moment that, and he's a really solid journalist.
Yeah, Brad Faxon, multiple, I think, 9-time PGA Tour winner, a great guy, does tons for charity. He is elevated in his broadcasting prowess on the U.S. Open coverage yesterday, and he had a little bit of a gaffe.
This is how long they are, 110 yards long. Added one, there's 13 now and 30 yards wide. One of the great images, most iconic images in golf.
I think it is. You know, we talked about that with Arnold Palmer a little bit yesterday, and the players cannot drive it over there. You can just see a little bit of them on the left side for Scott.
Okay, so...
September 25th, 2016, Mr. Palmer passed away.
So he said he talked to him last night, and I'm thinking, what's that movie with Robin Williams, the Ouija board or whatever that
Jumanji?
Is?
Jumanji?
Yeah. Is there some of that going on? Or he was referring to, in his mind, Jack Nicklaus.
Right. They had Jack Nicklaus on the coverage the day before, and obviously Jack had been around the Open, having won at Oakmont and beating Arnold Palmer, so... A little bit of a slip of the tongue there, and obviously the people on social media did not let him live it down.
All right, what else did we learn over the weekend? I think we learned that Rory McIlroy and his ability to not have to talk to the media, now we know maybe he's better off just not speaking at all. Talk about a wine fest.
No, not really. It's more a frustration with you guys, but... Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I've been totally available for the last few years, and not saying maybe not you guys, but maybe more just the whole thing.
The whole thing.
Yeah, part of, yeah, I mean, that was a part of it. That was a part of it. But it's not as if, like, at Augusta, I skipped you guys on Thursday, so.
Wow.
Yeah, it's not as if, it's not out of the ordinary.
All right. Does he want an award for?
I'm confused because to me this seems like, which battles do you want to fight? You just won the Masters. That was a career goal that had been really kind of a black cloud over you. Win the Grand Slam, get over the hump, win at Augusta. He did that. Why is Rory McIlroy now being the bad guy? I don't get it. It rubs people the wrong way. He's somebody that has been, you know, revered in the game of golf. He is all time. Now why is he picking a fight with the media? Well, he just doesn't serve a purpose.
Well, they asked him, how would you react if the PGA all of a sudden started requiring you guys to do that? And he goes, that's not something that's going to happen or needs to happen.
Okay.
Like
Rory.
It's just there was a lot of whining all weekend. There was whining from people, fans, about Oakmont. They don't deserve it. I heard Sandra say, who are they paying off to get this every...
Come on, Sandy.
Every 10... they had it 10 times. Then there's whining from the players. We also learned that... who is it that smashed up the locker room?
Wyndham Clark trashing the historic lockers inside Oakmont's clubhouse.
Smashed him.
Not good form.
And there was a Shane Lowry.
who I picked in my one-and-done league, who shot a smooth 17 over... through the first two rounds, wasn't even close to sniffing the cut.
Who was it yesterday gunned his clubs and was going crazy?
Rory McIlroy did.
No, yesterday, too, also. The bigger guy. I don't know which. There was so much. I don't know.
Mike Bell screaming on social media that the hockey team shouldn't be in Forsyth County. Come on, Mike Bell. Why are you whining about that?
Well, where does he live?
He lives in Noonan, Georgia.
Which is closer to, like,
Macon.
Yeah.
He might need a helicopter to get to that.
I'm telling you, my son was Bobby Shapiro loved Mike Bell and Carl Dukes.
I love him too.
It's our new favorite show, but Mike Bell had no governors. He talked to my son like he was talking to a 48-year-old man at a bar in, you know.
Good for him.
Cumming, Georgia.
That's a rite of passage right there. There's no question about it. I do have some breaking news that we can throw into things I learned. Darren Revell reports that after a year absence, Joey Chestnut will be back in the Nathan's Famous Hot Dog Eating Contest this 4th of July.
There is no story more boring to me than Joey Chestnut. I mean, thanks for reporting that.
Okay,
but like, dude, he is, I met the guy, great. You know, you lap the competition, you know, like, I know you're the greatest eater, competitive eater ever, but God.
You're not impressed by 76 hot dogs in 10 minutes, hot dogs and buns.
It's that the story has no angles to it. It's the same. It's just like there's nobody competing. And
how many could you eat in 10 minutes, hot dogs and buns?
Well, am I doing the dumping in the water and doing the whole thing?
Do whatever you need.
I'm not going to do like 15.
Wow.
I don't know. Just not. I don't like that competitive. I'm not a fan of the competitive eating thing. As someone who reveres food the way I do,
You just need to appreciate it more?
Yeah, it bothers me. Okay. It's like you're wasting it.
Don't be wasteful, people.
There are people starving somewhere. Oh, the other guy that Bobby was exposed to the other night was Tinker in Kennesaw. Tinker has a pet pig at home. Bobby's like, why does that man have a pig in his house? He came home. Do you know what he told my wife? He's like, I met this guy. He's a listener. He said if we walked into his house, the pig would attack us if that guy wasn't there. Is that true, Tinker?
Oh, yeah. You ain't got the scent on you? Yeah, you're dead man walking.
What does Atlanta do better than anything else?
I think just host events, whether it's a Congress Center, sporting events, and the hubs. And then
underrated weekend city.
I got to go with Helen, Georgia.
And what movie are you proud to pass on to your kids?
Animal House.
Oh, good call.
Bravo.
Hey, Nick in Atlanta, what does Atlanta do better than anybody else? Or anything else?
Food.
Underrated food. Weekend city.
Anything you...
Somebody should start a TV
Jekyll
show.
Island, Georgia.
Somebody should start a TV show just about food in Atlanta, just about dining around Atlanta.
I was just down at St. Simon's Island. Georgia Gold Coast is beautiful, the Golden Isles.
What movie are you proud to pass on to your kiddos?
It's a toss-up between Enemy Mine and Point Break.
Point Break. Utah, I'll take two.
Chris in McDonough, what does Atlanta do better than anything else?
Breakfast and brunch.
Underrated weekend city.
Flagstaff, Arizona.
Nice. Very familiar Flagstaff. Beautiful spot.
What movie are you proud to pass on to your kids?
Matilda.
I'll give another good one for my daughters, and maybe this is later on this summer. Heavyweights is an incredible Disney movie. Ben Stiller, hilarious, hilarious summer camp movie.
It's great when you have a movie you love that also you can go under 10 years old on and have the same level of enjoyment.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
All three of these are topics we should probably explore, right?
I agree.
Underrated.
That's what we do.
Oh, we'll wait till next week, maybe when you're back. Hey, thanks, Bo, Caleb, everybody else for listening. Queen's back tomorrow. Andy and Randy are next. Thanks for making the Steakhouse part of your day. Bye.